Good day, dear traveler, and welcome to the Vagabond Dilemma, hosted by the dashing Rudy and, well, me, Henry. On this week's episode, the declaration of love for Italy continues, and it goes a little bit too far at times. We also discuss some odd geographical comparisons and brainstorm the most airtight alibi to securing some of that widow fund cash. Without further ado, please enjoy.
Buongiorno, my fellow listeners!
Buongiorno!
Welcome back to the Vagabond Dilemma. Ooh. And yeah, we are, I guess, in the middle of the spooky season right now. So, Henry, because I was going to ask how are the spooks going so far, but we're recording this basically in the middle of September.
Yeah, we're kind of banking episodes for the start right now. So if we release one weekly starting, let's say, this or next week, then this would indeed come out like in the third or fourth, like the third. So let's say around the 20th of October, something like that. So indeed, this is quite interesting. The spooks are scary.
I mean, I got spooked the other day because of the freaking crisis of heating. So I'm just going to bitch about this, right? I need this to be out in the world. The Dutch, you really like your cold, right? Because for some reason you just don't like heating up your houses. But when it's 10 degrees outside, well, you were not born then.
I don't count. Bye.
Don't count, yes. Why freeze yourself? Like, I mean, I never really meant to have biological children anyways, but like, not like this. Not by my choice, not against it.
Is it not in your case that it's just a certain date at which point you can heat? I mean, the summer only officially ended today. Maybe you should try your luck today.
Well, right? Anyways, maybe.
Well, in any case, I don't like the cold. But yeah, heating costs kind of going crazy right now. So I'm going to try to leave it as long as I can to save a little bit of money.
Money. Henry, how is life in inflation?
Huh? Oh, yeah, it's great. I love it. Hey, increase expenses. Thank you. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's just expensive. But I've been doing... The stupid thing is, this is a year so far, or this academic year, I've already done a lot more activities than I have in the past years. Like, on average, let's say. So it's kind of costing me more now than ever, yet I'm still going for it, so...
I guess it's kind of the same for me, but it's like... just, you know, fun trips. For example, I started going to a gym, which is...
I mean...
Woo, right?
That's supposed to be fun.
It was fun, honestly. It was fun.
Well, there you go. Yeah, I haven't got swimming in a while now again. It's because my bike is fucking dead and I didn't have time to get it fixed yet.
You know what we need more in gyms, though?
What?
Italians.
Bruh, are you really doing this right now?
This saga will never die as long as I'm alive.
I hope you don't remember by the next time that we record.
I mean, nah.
Well, you probably will.
Italians will never die in my heart.
Yeah, every time I speak to you, it's something about Italians.
Yeah, well, because I love Italians. You know, I honestly think that in some ways I'm like a Ferrari. I am cool, expensive.
Don't say that, right?
Mm. And on a good day, I can fit more than one Italian in me.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
I had to go for the job. And before you know, straight dudes come at me saying, oh, Ferrari isn't famously a two-seater car. I know something about cars. It's still one more than one.
Yes. Well,
yeah,
Rudy, I think you don't even need to have a good day to fit two Italians inside a king. So I think your point still stands, to be quite frank.
I don't know if we should continue this thread.
I don't think we should, but you brought it up. So I also get to
You know what, Italians? Hit your boy up.
Alright. I don't want this to become a prostitution-based podcast, King. How about Italians, if you hear this, you can respectfully contact him, but not in the context of the show. Thank you very
much. Yeah, take me on a date first. Don't just slide into my DMs and be like, ho, ho, look at this sausage.
We love Italian sausage.
Oh, we do. We do. More than the pizza. Anyways, I think I should just start.
I truly, truly hate that it came to this already. Let's refresh.
What do
Hello,
you mean
everybody.
Already? We have gone 3 episodes straight up without any sexual innuendos. It wasn't gonna happen at some point.
Good, might I add, first of all. Good on me for that. Because I was gonna keep it up. Good on me. Shame on you for everything, basically. But okay. Let's explore some unknown regions, huh, Rudy? What can you make of that?
Oh yeah, let's go. But you know what? There is a low-hanging fruit right there, and I'm not gonna take it.
Exactly, I know there is, and I'm surprised you don't
so
take
without,
it. So I'll have
without
to take
any
it.
Sexual innuendos ado, let's get into it! And today, it is me who hosts the episode.
Ooh. And
yeah, so, right. Oh, right, we didn't explain this again. Vagabond Dilemma.
Huh? I want to explain it.
Okay, you do it, fine.
The Vagabond Dilemma is a podcast where we pick a famous explorer and then talk about their nether regions.
Wait.
That's right. You made this happen, Rudy. No, okay. So, The Vagabond Dilemma is a show with, well, me, Henry, and my lovely co-host, Rudy.
Hey!
Because I don't think we introduced ourselves earlier. Where we pick a famous explorer, or not so famous, I guess. We just pick an explorer, huh? Let's not put a label on it. We pick an explorer who went missing in a mysterious, or sometimes not so mysterious way. And we learn a bit about them, and then theorize about what may have happened. And today, Ooh. Rudy prepared for...
I prepared for George Washington. No.
Was he an explorer? No. No, right?
No,
I feel stupid for even asking.
No, he wasn't. But no, it actually is. It is a George, coincidentally. And also as a coincidence, throwback to the last episode, both of us prepared for a guy who got lost at sea, allegedly.
There you go.
So the guy who I prepared for is by the name of George Bass.
George Bass. Might I add, real quick, that I was honestly, when we started our first 2 episodes, I was more surprised that we didn't have someone he lost at sea then, because that's like the classic disappearance, right?
Good on us.
That's true, good on us. Hey, people who died at sea, stay unoriginal.
Yeah, at least could have paddled to the closest island, and then you at least, you know, got lost on land. But nah, you had to do it at sea.
Yeah. All right, George, is it Bass or Bass? Or
I mean, it is spelled Bass, but I tried, like, I looked up pronunciations, and it really depends on your accent, apparently. But as he was originally from Britain, I'm going to say Bass.
Oh, it's George Bass.
Yes.
All right, sorry for interrupting. Let's hear about this George guy.
Right, well, first, environment, right? We have to know what happened in the world while he was, you know, doing his thing. Ooh,
that's true.
Right, so this is the cusp, or rather the turnaround, of the pages between the 18th and the 19th centuries.
Oh.
Yeah, so what is happening in the world then, huh? Well, a lot of interesting things. For example, East India Company smuggling opium into China through Bengal.
Okay. We love drug addictions.
Yeah. 1775 till 1783, it's the American Revolutionary War.
Okay. Congrats, America.
There's a lot of culture going on. For example, Mozart premieres The Marriage of Figaro and
Wait.
Don Giovanni and the Magic Flute.
You said Mozart?
Yes.
What? He lived... Wait, when was this? 18th and 19th century?
Yeah, so the end of 1700s, starting of 1800s, because, you know, you count...
Like, yeah, I just didn't... I just realized right now I never had an idea of when Mozart lived, and that feels wrong, but it isn't. Yet it still does, but it isn't, so...
All right.
It just feels like, I don't know, Did you know when Mozart died before, or when he lived?
Oh, when he lived? I had the general estimate idea, but I had a really good music teacher who'd like put effort in this, so I did have an idea, yeah.
Wait, you outsourced today's information to your music teacher?
No, but like when I was in high school, like I loved my music teacher.
All right.
He loved his job too, so like, you know, it was a good combo of me actually remembering things from his class.
Yeah, that's nice.
But yeah, also coincidentally, you know what, Henry? You tell me what happened in 1789 in America.
In 1789, George Bass said, "Fuck it, let's ride," and went out to the sea.
No, in 1789, George Washington gets elected as the first president of the United States.
Ah, okay.
Honestly, I did not know this. Does this get, by the way, taught to you in, like, here in the Netherlands in high school, for example?
No. Does it get taught to you?
No.
No, I mean, this is all just country. Like, this is all shit you know if you're American and not if you're anywhere else, yeah. Basically.
Well, it's also a pioneer time for medical advancements, apparently, because 1796, Edward Jenner administers the first ever smallpox vaccine.
Okay.
So, I mean, can you try and guess how many estimately people died from smallpox in 18th century every day? No, each year. Let's go each year.
So on average per year?
On average per year. It's an estimate because, you know, they didn't have, like, the exact records, I guess, but it's an estimate. Yeah.
Writing wasn't invented yet back then. Okay, the 18th century, so the 1700s, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In general, or in Britain, did you say?
In Europe, Europeans.
In Europe. The question, you know, the thing that's always a thing with these questions is it's hard to get the same population frame of reference. But let's say, because it was so much less back then, right, in comparison to nowadays. Let's say I want to guess it is 30 million. Way too much. That's way
every
too much.
Year, 30 million.
No. I was just, let's say 1 million?
Is that your final answer?
I guess I'm looking like an idiot either way, so hit me with it.
No, it's less than that by more than a half. It's 400,000 every year.
Okay, so not
but imagine
that, big
that
of a
every
deal.
Like year for a whole century.
True.
That's a big number.
That is a big number.
So Edward Jenner probably indirectly saved the population of Europe as it is now.
Yeah, shout out to Edward Jenner. If you're still out there, we love you.
And let's segue this a bit for later, because another thing that happened, 1788. First fleet arrives where?
The Falkland Islands.
A bit bigger. Island, but bigger. Continent, might say.
Australia.
Exactly. 11 ships bring the first African and European settlers. Or African settlers, well, let's be honest, you know.
Right.
Most probably slave trading still, unfortunately, because, yeah. Well, you know what, still, this should be a trend through these episodes. Fuck colonialism.
Right. I think, yeah.
Yes.
It's quite unfortunate, isn't it?
It is.
Not much more to say. Fuck colonialism.
Well, then we move on to our boy, George Bass, who was born in January 1771, and in a place I cannot really pronounce properly, but it's near Sleaford, Lincolnshire, in Britain. It's Aswerby, something like that.
Wait, what? Huh?
So the way it is spelled is Aswarby.
ASW again? Oh, that's Aswerby. A tough one. Aswerby, yeah, that sounds about right. If you're British and you're listening to this, don't bother correcting us. I don't want to hear it.
We don't want to hear it because you guys, like, you. It seems sometimes that you just choose a county or something and you're like, yo, let's make it sure nobody, even us from other counties, can, like, pronounce this shit correctly on our first try. Because fuck this, this is our land.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's kind of a colonizer mindset, don't you think?
What, to make it a name that nobody can pronounce?
Yes, exactly what I'm saying.
Truly. The English really started this shit at home and said, let's go do this shit elsewhere as well.
But yeah, so Arboyo is not of royal blood by any means. He's son of to a tenant farmer and a local beauty named Sarah. By the way, guy's okay. Father's name is also George Bass.
Well, there you go. They didn't have to be original.
They literally hit them with the 1-2. Literally. Double trouble. Dynamic duo. Unfortunately, it didn't last long because father dies when George was 6.
Okay. Kind of unfortunate. Sorry, George.
Bad luck. 1794, though. After successful study years, he gets accepted to the Royal Navy.
Ooh, congrats, George.
But not as an explorer or like a captain or a swashbuckler. No, he gets accepted as a surgeon.
Interesting.
So he knows something about, you know, like medical things.
Right.
I would suppose, at least.
Surgeons know something about medical things, indeed.
I want to go on record by saying that, exactly. I think I know something about this world, and if there's one thing that surgeons know, it's something about medicine.
That's a hot take about surgeons, is that they might know some shit about medicine.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
All right.
Well, anyhow, as I already segued this before, our boy is mostly actually known because, well, his most known adventures, because he had quite some before the trip, are known because he explored a specific part around Australia. So he arrives in Sydney on September 7th, 1795.
September 7th, 1795.
Yes.
Okay.
And yeah, so before his the trip, he had three main adventures. They were mostly... Well, I'm going to talk about each one in detail a bit later. But they were mostly just to explore the coast that goes south from Sydney Port. Like Port Jackson at the time, I think it was.
Okay. So this wasn't an exploration around Australia?
He never went out like around Australia. He actually never went, as you will later find out, past King Island, which is, if you guys are following at home, it's basically... So you know like Australia is like a croissant? It looks like a croissant.
Huh? And so, Wait, sorry, I can't skip over that. What the fuck do you mean? It looks like
because
a croissant.
Because croissants are actually like a half moon, you know, like the crescent thing. Yeah. And Australia is exactly that.
I don't know. I think you might not have had a croissant before is what I'm thinking right now.
Well, not as, you know, it was like you know, like a croissant that has tried to be straightened.
Right. A croissant that was actually a continent.
Yes.
Okay,
it's
anyway.
It's the right color too, a little bit greenish around the edges, so I probably wouldn't eat it, but...
It's a moldy croissant.
But anyways, the area that he explored goes from Sydney, which is on the, southeast coast of Australia, and he never got past King Island, which is the right end, like, south of Australia. So, like, that tip that's on the right end, south, he never got past that, really.
And that's called King Island?
Well, it's King Island is, so you see... Have you pulled up map?
Yes.
So you have Australia and then you have Tasmania and that one island in between on the left side, that's King Island.
Oh, okay. I thought you... Yeah, okay, that makes sense now.
Right.
Why'd they name it King Island? You think the King of England used to live there? Maybe that's where they hoped the king would go.
Maybe.
All right, sorry for that.
Right. So, first trip, 1796. So he had brought with him a small boat. Like, he got on the big ship from UK, got to Australia, but there he didn't have a big ship. So he was like, yo, I have my small boat with me. He named a very cute name, Tom Thumb.
That is cute.
Yeah. Apparently, like, allegedly it was because of its size, because it was, I actually know the parameters. It was 2.4 meters keel and 1.5 meters beam.
That's a really small ship.
Yeah, it's a boat, it's not a ship, yeah.
Can I also ask, you said he was a surgeon, right?
Yeah.
So why is he on a ship by himself?
Because, it was, wait, I just noticed in Google Maps that in Australia there's a place called Wagga Wagga.
Yeah, that's like Aboriginal names, probably.
It's just, the way it just appeared, it's like nothing in that location, and then I just see Wagga Wagga. Okay, but anyways, well, he never, like, okay, so he was a surgeon, yes, by default, but he was also, like, he was a surgeon slash explorer, I would say, because he was never actually, I think, hired to explore anything, but he was, he still did it, and then, like, got rewarded for it.
So he went out there.
I think he was never contracted, I might be wrong on this, but I think in that day and age, if you, like, go out, find something new, or, like, new trade routes or something, you still get rewarded, even if you, get like, didn't get contracted. You just have to prove that you, like, you know.
Yeah, fair enough, probably.
Yeah, so, yeah, and so, Tom Thumb, and then, the first trip, let me just check this. Yeah, so they explored with a party together, it wasn't just him. Mm-hmm. On Tom Thumb, they went not that far, they went from Port Jackson a little bit southwards, and then basically explored the Botany Bay and Lake Illawarra, I think it's called. It's literally, like, if you look in the map, yeah. It's, like, a very minuscule amount. Like, he didn't go that far on that first trip.
Yeah, it's quite near Sydney.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically still Sydney, nowadays at least.
Yeah, it's, yeah, very close to the metropolitan Sydney area.
Yeah. He also, I think, later on used a different boat with the same exploration group, and they gave, guess what name to that boat?
Tom Thompson, or whatever it was, too.
Exactly, it was Tom Thumb 2. Gotta give it for the originality, eh?
Oh. Hell, if it's a good name, just slap a 2 behind it and call it a day.
Honestly, I can see. Tom Thumb, one of the names I'm gonna... Okay, I can live with this. Tom Thumb 2, your legacy lives on. Rest assured. okay, next big adventure though, 1797, he went way farther away. He went from, okay, now you have to follow me, because otherwise you'll keep looking for this. So Port Jackson is where he again started, all of his journey started in Port Jackson.
Yeah.
He goes south, past Jervis Bay, he goes around Cape Hove, Point Hicks, then he does a little loop around that one half island, and he goes to Western Port, which is basically already the south side of the right tip of Australia.
Okay. This is quite the jump.
Yeah, that jump is like 10 times larger journey than the one before.
So you said he was at Cape Howe?
He went around it.
Yeah, okay. That's the island. Okay, I see. Sorry for the listeners, but yeah. Essentially, it's at the southern right tip of Australia. So this time is quite the journey indeed.
Yeah. And at this point, I think, is when he actually is like, yo, because, so, they know at that point that now nowadays known as Tasmania, back then Van Diemen's Land, people, like, weren't, like, so they knew that there was an island or a continent, because nobody has ever, as far as I know, circumnavigated it. So, he was the one who had the theory that because he was, well-educated, he was like, because of the stream and, the, you know, like this and that, it must be the case that you can go around the island. He didn't go around the island on that trip, but I guess that's where the theory got born, that it was like, yeah, so I think that's an island that you can go around with.
Right.
And on that one, like on this specific journey that we're still talking about, the Western Port, yeah, he just basically, I think... They settled a new town around there. They also, like, you know, a new trading goods, and basically it was just all around, you know, more like a profiting trip.
Yeah.
It was he liked exploring. He also found like plants that don't grow anywhere in the like European world, so he sent some back to the academy in UK to some botanists, same with like animal species. So he's also like credited for some early botanical exploration, I guess.
Right. He's a true self-made explorer, you could say.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
That's a pretty interesting backstory.
As you might have noticed, that area between Melbourne and Tasmania, so that the tip that is kind of away from Australia, is called Bass Strait. Well, guess
yes,
why?
I see now. It's because that's where he found out his sexuality.
Exactly. Exactly what I meant by
Bass Strait, indeed.
And then, yeah, the next trip is the one that he's most known for, actually, in 1798, he circumnavigated
yes.
Tasmania.
There you
back
go.
Back then known as One Demon's Land.
He just did it?
Yeah, so because he went, so from Cape Hope, he kind of went more and more south, and then he... If I look at the map here, he started circumnavigating right around the left side of it, and then anti-clockwise went around the whole island and went back the same route to Port Jackson.
There you go.
Yeah, so Tasmania Base is the name you should remember. That's right.
Tasmania is really beautiful as well. So, George Base, thanks, King, for your groundwork.
For your groundwork. And on the cusp of the new century, 1800, 8th of October, he marries Elizabeth Waterhouse.
Ooh, Waterhouse.
Who is a sister of Henry Waterhouse.
Oh, me?
And Henry Waterhouse was the captain of Resilience, which was the ship that I believe he arrived on just like to Australia.
Okay.
And yeah, so at this point he's made a name for himself, especially if I don't know how hard it was back then, but he wasn't of royal blood. So this is basically he just, you know, made a name for himself.
Right.
He was nobody expected anything of him, but he was like, here I am and this is what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, that's pretty badass.
Yeah. Sad note though that so they married, right?
Right.
But then he went on a trip. Same year, no, not same year, 3 years from then, and never, like, so they were married for 3 years, then he went on a trip where he got lost, never seen, so they never saw each other again.
Because he got lost, or just something
because he
else?
Got lost, but
yeah,
so basically,
okay.
He fell in love, married, and after 3 years, was like, yo!
Bye!
You'll never see me again! But okay, then, let's get to the spooky bit! Fifth of February, 1803, on Venus. Not the planet, the ship.
Okay.
Kind of a letdown, but the plan was to go to Tahiti, perhaps also Spanish colonies in Chile, to buy provisions for Sydney.
That's a massive fucking trip in comparison to what they did before.
Yes, but it's allegedly a known route, because people have done it before, so he's not exploring anything at that point. He's literally just going down that route to just, you know, do trade, basically.
Yeah.
Well, later on, because it was kind of like, he was known for exploring, and then people were like, so why did you, like, it's kind of weird that he just doesn't explore further, for example, like, further west from what he already went around, like, Western Port. So people are like, why would you do a trade trip? But later on, turns out that he was suspected that he might have planned to engage into contraband trading in Chile.
Well.
So our boy wasn't, he might have had his demons or some. Maybe it was inflation. You know what? We cannot judge. We're not going to judge too much.
Mr. George was a bad, bad little boy.
So he engages in this trip that allegedly is only, you know, for trading.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time he has to, of course, because of trade ship, he has to report. After months of no word to the Governor King,
yes,
Base is proclaimed lost at sea, and Elizabeth was granted an annuity from the Widow's Fund. And that's where I'm going to leave it for now.
Well.
There you go. So, another lost at sea man. Yeah. So what happened, Henry?
This one is a bit more mysterious than last week's Henry Hudson. Because truly nothing is known except for he went for it, but didn't get it.
Yeah.
But you know who did get something?
Mm-hmm.
Our good friend Elizabeth, was it? Waterhouse.
Yes. Oh, I see where you're going with this, but okay.
That's right. Mr. Georgie, as the smart man that he was, looked into the rules and said, hey, Elizabeth, let's play the long con on this one. Let's get married. We hang out for 3 years. I go get lost at sea, and you cash in on the widow's fund.
In this economy, an idea was born that worked.
Exactly. And then George, I mean, when you're lost at sea, do they have any real way to find him? Like, if, let's say he just comes back on a different ship, would they recognize him?
Honestly, I mean, if you actually do everything by the book, it's pretty easy to find you those days already, because even if, for example, there are, you know, countries like, I don't know, like UK or Spain or France, who are like, you know, competitors in trading and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If something like this happens, they report to the, you know, the authorities that are supposed to take care of that person. So he would have been found if it would have been recorded.
Okay. Well, then maybe he just said, let's live on Tahiti instead, and just never came back. Then the widow fund money was just something he agreed on with Elizabeth. The marriage was a sham. And they just both got their payday. Let's put it that way.
And then on a little boat in the middle of the night, also Elizabeth vanished, but nobody talked about it. But that's just because she went to Tahiti, to better shores. But you're going this about the cute route. What if this is not what it seems? And George was like, yo, I love this woman. I'm going to go on the trade route. I'm going to bring back money. But Elizabeth was like, ha, buckaroo. I have learned how to make a like countdown TNT. And I'm going to put this on your ship.
For what?
Because I get the money and I get rid of your ass.
Oh, it's still insurance fraud. Or widow fund fraud. But the non-nice version.
Exactly. This is the other side of the coin.
Wait, stupid question. Did they already had like stuff like TNT back then? Like, good when question. Were cannons invented?
Oh, those were invented a long time ago before. Because, I mean, ships, right? Ships already had cannons at that time.
Right. I mean, that's what TNT, I'm asking.
When invented? Let's go. 1863. Oh, TNT was not invented back then. Gunpowder was definitely, but not TNT.
Okay, what about this? So she didn't have TNT, but she had a barrel of gunpowder. And what she did is she put a candle on it.
A really long candle?
Yeah, yes. That by the time it melts, it blows up, like it comes in contact with the gunpowder and blows up the ship.
That would have been the sham of a century, because imagine, first of all, they probably, like, you know, it's a gunpowder barrel compartment.
Right.
They're like, we're not going to keep any candles in here. So she would have hid it. And she would have hid it. Oh, wait a minute. I know she made a specific barrel. I already see this. My engineering brain is at work. She made a two compartments in the barrel, one of which is a gunpowder, just to ignite the rest of the gunpowder, right? Because if there's at least one barrel that explodes, everything explodes.
Yes.
And then she just made a, like, very specific, like, slowly burning, I don't know, a piece of string or something in the other compartment of the same barrel. And yeah, it started burning, but there's no way of finding out if it burns or not. Doesn't when you seal the barrel, because nobody's going to open it unless you have to, I guess. And then she just, yo, go.
Yo, hey, bye.
And you can just see, like, in the distance, like, very far away in the distance, if you squint your eyes, ha-boom. The ship didn't go out even a port.
Yeah, but they just didn't want to bother having a look at what the fucking issue was. It was like, yeah, you know what? Lost at sea. Hey, have some money for this, Elizabeth. Have a good one.
Well, honestly, okay. Though, Henry, you know what's coming. I, as usual, know exactly what happened.
Yes, again. Go ahead.
Right, so it's easy. So, like, let's pull up map, right? So he wants to go to Tahiti, right?
Yes.
And allegedly, maybe, to Chile.
Right.
So that's, you know, we pull up map. That's the whole blue butt of Earth. As in, like, there's a lot of things there. You're always at the sea. Everywhere you look, it's kind of like the same because the waves look the same. You're like, you know, oh yeah. Man, it's seasickness. Maybe he got a bit lost. So he sees, oh, yo, this is an island. I guess I'm where I have to be. So, like, he steps out and he's like, hello, I'm George Bass. So, like, I come here to trade. And they're like, oh, ayu gozaimasu. You fucking stupid idiot. You're in Japan.
This is quite the theory indeed.
You're in freaking Japan. And he's like, what do you mean, Japan? He's like, look at the map. This is exactly north of where you were supposed
to. Right.
Dumb bitch. You baka.
And then it turns out his compass had broken in a way that it made it look that going east was going north in reality.
Exactly. And then he was executed for being so stupid.
That's the end of his Japan adventure. He just gets called stupid and it was like, you know what, fuck it, let's just execute this dude. It's not even worth it. I mean, actually, I think, I don't know if it's this time period, but somewhere near that time period, Japan did have a closed doors policy, something like that.
There you go. He opened the doors he wasn't supposed to open.
Exactly.
And they were like, yo, my man.
You're not very Japanese, sir. I'm a have to ask you to fuck off.
Wrong forge, brother.
Well, here's something else that I think could have happened. And keep in mind that this is actually a very realistic scenario.
Okay.
Is he left for Tahiti. He was just vibing in the ocean, you know. As you do, as an explorer. Yeah, actually, side note, what the fuck, did they just play card games all day or what? Like, what are you gonna do if you're out at sea for, like, multiple months?
I'm gonna be honest with you, and I hate that this episode has become this, but it's probably a lot of gay sex.
Well, fair enough. Hey, this is officially the sex episode.
So maybe that's why Elizabeth got through them. He's like, yo, my man's off to get another man's ass.
That's pretty, hey, Elizabeth, you sick homophobe, how could you?
That's exactly what I would expect from somebody whose surname is Waterhouse.
Anyway, so they were just vibing on the boat, probably fucking each other, as Rudy just said. And then they landed on, well, let's say, from a range of Fiji to Tahiti, one of them islands. And they said, wow, you know, this shit is actually fucking awesome here. Sydney, kind of cringe. I really like the Pacific Oceans. It's so tropical. Nice. There's a no worries attitude here. Let's just stay. And then they stayed.
You know what? I would not even like that. I wish that would have happened to me, because, oh my god, anything like around French Polynesia, holy Jesus.
Exactly.
Right?
I'm fucking manifesting this right now, is what's happening.
So, like, I mean, it's a gay paradise.
Based on what?
Well, because it's a paradise and they're gay, probably.
Well, I guess fair enough.
I mean, if they're not, you kind of got, I know, there's a lot of things to do in a land where there's, okay, actually, wait, French Polynesia, how long ago people actually started living there when it was settled? Let's see.
Well, actually, maybe, it probably didn't end up in Tahiti in this theory, because that's, if it's French, then that's not where you want to be as.
Oh.
As an English / Australian, right?
Wait. The islands were first settled by migrating Polynesians as early as 500 BC.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't heard those stories before, these guys are also smart as fuck. Like, you said
why
that
am I
Mr.
doing with freaking George Bass? I want to know this story.
Well, maybe they didn't disappear because they were competent.
Maybe.
But you said like that Mr. Georgie calculated that based on some info downstream, you could tell that Tasmania was an island, something like that, right?
Yeah, there's something about the currents.
So the Polynesian people did the same thing, except for, well, those islands in the Pacific.
So, really?
Yeah, it's pretty sick that they managed to do that.
That is, especially so long ago.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd love to go there with a plane and settle there with a plane.
I mean, he also must have found, like, okay, maybe he just found, like, okay, so I don't know how often these happen, but back then it was probably like, you know, it's a savage world, unexplored land, adventures and monsters lurk around the corner. What if he just got swallowed by a maelstrom?
A maelstrom? What's that?
It's the whirlpool in an ocean, the one that swallows things up.
Well, that's probably also very likely. He just whirled down to the sea floor. Hey, a true pioneer exploring the sea floor of the Pacific.
Also, there's so many monsters at sea, and all, like, a lot of stories go like, oh, this monster lives in this sea. Ocean is one sea, basically. They could have been anywhere. Maybe he met, like, Charybdis or something. Wait, is Charybdis the one that I'm thinking about? I think it's Charybdis. It must be. It is. Yes. Charybdis is the... You know the Scylla and Charybdis story from the Greek mythology, I believe.
No.
So basically that's where the saying of, like, you must choose the lesser of two evils comes from. The story goes that, like, I think they were sisters that got cursed. And so they started guarding this passage that settlers had to go through, which one of the monsters, Charybdis, being the basically a maelstrom, and the other one is a hydra that lives up in a cave if you try to go through the strait, like, by land. So either you choose Charybdis or Scylla in that story to go through.
Right.
And what if Charybdis was like, yo, Scylla, we've been sisters, right? But, like, after centuries, I'm fucking done with you. You got on my nerves, because we know how siblings are. Fuck them.
Right.
so she was just like, woo, around the ocean, and yeah. Oh, shit, swallowed some shit.
Whoops. Well.
My bad.
My bad, and none of my business. See you later.
Spit them out somewhere in Japan, and that's where he got killed.
Right, and then they made sure to send a postcard to Elizabeth so she could claim her widow's fund.
Oh yeah, Charybdis was like, okay, sorry, homie, but like your husband, I'm fucking dead as fuck. I'm really bad. But see ya, G. Here's the slip. So yeah, I killed him. But like, bye, Felicia.
Well, I guess one last theory I have.
Yeah?
Is, you know what's also close to Australia?
Your mom.
Not quite true, but...
I just had to get it in there, but sure, what is
it? Nice try.
New Zealand.
Antarctica.
That too is what I'm going to say next, definitely.
So, what may have happened is they, you know, were just sailing along merrily. Their compass just... broke, I guess, you know, easy excuse, their compass broke, and they ended up in the Antarctic, in the South Pole Circle, fuck it, I don't know, they ended up on Antarctica, okay? But what happened is they were obviously ill-prepared, because they didn't have any winter clothes. So they were quite cold. So what happens is... they develop, like, some sort of fur. And next thing is they don't have any food. So they develop beaks to fish for fish. And as it turns out, they're the origin story of penguins.
Oh my god. Yeah, and their knees go up their ass so they can't walk or run anymore.
Well, they were definitely not opposed to sticking things up their ass, apparently, so.
Oh my god, that's right!
To bring it all back.
You know what? There are a lot of kinks in this world, but have you ever heard of sticking a kneecaps up your ass?
That sounds very painful, to say the least.
That's what happened to the penguins.
Well, I guess some people can make do with what they get, I guess.
Fucking. Let's just move on to the speculations of what happened, actually.
Yes, so what did happen?
So, okay. Till this day... still lost at sea and never found, and there's no official story, but there are three main speculations, all of which have kind of been disproven, but there's some truth in what apparently like all of those have. So the first one is that he actually got captured and sent to Chilean silver mines, captured by the Spanish. But this one is disputed because some of the timings just don't align. Because it was allegedly told by somebody who went the same trade route, but like vice versa, is already coming back to Sydney. And they said that like, oh yeah, we saw him there and there and there. But like just, the timing is not right. So like it just somebody was trying to make up a story. Then there was another dude named Jorgen Jorgensen, who allegedly proclaimed that Bass had attempted forced trade at a gunpoint in Chile, but got captured when he let his guard down. Also disputed because of specific aspects of this story also not aligning, and basically Jorgen Jorgensen, as far as we know, you're a fraud.
Yeah, fucking Danish people.
And then, and what the third, well, it's not really a theory, but it's just a weird fact, that a search of Spanish archives in 1903 and Peruvian archives in 2003 led no further, because Bassa wasn't even mentioned once. So that means that if he actually reached the shores of, you know, Spanish settlers at some point, it either never really happened or they just did not note it down.
And what about the Chilean archives?
I don't think
these idiots
then
didn't
they were...
check the main
country's archives. I don't think
archive.
Back then it was Chilean archives.
Well,
no.
I will dispute this claim. It was, and Spanish people are stupid for this.
Yeah.
I think it's good if every episode we piss off multiple nationalities.
Yeah, I think so too. Except Italians, I love you.
Yeah, do you remember what we said last week? On the last episode about Italians?
I don't care, because I love Italians with all my heart.
Okay. Well, I don't know about that, but all right.
One small quiz before we end, though.
Oh.
Guess how many things are named after Bass? And, like, this is not only geographical things, but, like, anything. Because Wikipedia had a very extensive list.
Okay. Well, first, the Bass Strait, of course. Then Bass, as in the music term. So that's two. I'm going to go with 50.
Close, actually. 13.
13. Interesting.
But the bass, the instrument bass is not one of those.
Yeah, that's what they want you to think, Rudy.
Yeah, maybe. But anyways, he has two highways. Bass highway in Tasmania and Victoria.
Okay.
He has a Bass Hill in New South Wales. He has a Bass Point, Bass Strait, Bass River. He has a town just named Bass in Victoria after it. And he has two divisions of Bass, both in Tasmania, one federal, one state.
Mm-hmm.
Bass and Flinders Point. Flinders is one of the guys he went on the second most known journey with. That's also a state. He has a George Bass Drive in Airport in Batemans Bay, New South Wales. And Bass Islands, French Polynesia.
There you go. Why did he get his name there?
Because that's where he ended up.
Oh my god, the French, no, we're just like,
but
fuck
the
it.
French,
let's not
but
tell
the
it.
French knew all along, but they were like, nah. No. We are not gonna give the British the satisfaction of knowing what happened.
Alright. And actually, little known fact, Base Camp for every mountain is also named after him.
Sure. Kids, believe that. And go to your geography teacher and be like, you know what? I know something that you don't, bitch.
Exactly. Phrase it like that as well. As aggressive as you can.
And on that, another very good and, you know, cheerful note. I think every episode we just given a very aggressive advice that shouldn't be followed through. But
yes.
We're like, and on that good note, we end this episode.
I'm a pledge for next time. I won't say anything bad to anybody listening. All right.
Oh,
I apologize.
Can I just say
I apologize for my actions.
I don't.
All right.
Except Italians, if I ever hurt you. Oh my god.
Okay, well, that was it. Rudy, you wanna, huh?
Oh yeah, right, my favorite part. So 000 RUDYS 000 is where you will find my Instagram if you Google this in Instagram. It's not Googling, it's Insta. But anyways, so 30s, Rudy's 30s. Ayo, your boy is waiting for those likes.
There you go. And if we have a Twitter or an email or whatever the hell, then we'll add it in post. How about that, huh?
Yep.
Because it's not there yet. Or otherwise, if you have any suggestions or any ideas, send it in to 000RUDYS 000.
Oh, that I feel like I'm gonna get a lot of hate or love from Italians. You know, I have this feeling.
Isn't that the Italian passion?
To give love to me?
Or hate, just both.
Yeah, you know I can go for drama. And on that good note...
Alright, goodbye.
Bye!